Reading from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, text 130. Jai, Jai, Madhya Lila 1, text 130. Jaya, Jaya, Sri Chaitanya, Jaya, Nityananda, Jaya, Dvaita, Chanda, Jaya, Gaur, Bhakta, Vrinda, Jai, Jai, Sri Chaitanya, Jaya, Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chanda Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Damodarsa Rupa Milane Parama Ananda Sikhi Mahiti Milanai Bhavananda. Eventually there was a meeting with Sarup Damodar Goswami, and the Lord became very greatly pleased. Then there was a meeting with Sikhi Mahiti and with Bhavananda Roy, the father of Ramananda Roy. Om Jnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuram Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam yena bhutale shayam bhupa kadamayam sadati sapadantikam adhanamastanam jante aridam yache puna puna shrimad rupa visambodham jayate namaha pancha kalpa karubhyasya kripa singha Kripa Sindhu Bhaye Vicha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasavi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Greetings from Cornwall, New York. About an hour, I think, northwest of New York City. It's the site of our Panihati Festival and many other Vaishnav gatherings. I'm finding it very conducive for my studies in bhajan and service and health. They have a very nice room here for me, so I'm back here. And we're very fortunate to get a glimpse of Gaur Lila. It's the Supreme Lord taking the position of his best devotee. And therefore, teaching us, actually, how to be the best devotee. Seva sadaka rupena, siddha rupena chatrihi, and bhakti rasamrita sindhu, when Rupa Goswami in three seed verses is describing Raganuga Bhakti, or spontaneous devotional service. Seva Sadaka Rupena, Siddha Rupena Chatrihi. That there are two Anugas are following in an advanced platform. One is Siddha Rupena Chatrihi, that the Vaishnavas in their perfected form, they have a identity and form in Krishna Lila. And so have a form in Gaur Lila, and that's called the sadaka loop, the form of the sadaka. But the siddha or the sadaka are performing spontaneous devotional service. And one can follow them. They're doing kirtan. The Cowherd Boys are doing kirtan. The associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are doing kirtan. The form of the devotees doing the kirtan may be different, but the kirtan is not different. And the sentiments are not different. It's the Prem Kirtan. The Kirtan, which is enriched, it's a calling out to the Supreme Lord for service in a very spontaneous way. We're very fortunate to observe the Gaur Lila. And especially as we're entering Madhya and Antya, the Sesha, the last 24 years. And he's just come back from South India to purify the holy places, because sinful people come to the holy places, and the saintly people actually purify the holy places. And he's gone to the holy places to fulfill his mission to distribute Krishna consciousness, and now he's coming back to Puri for the internal reason of his descent. There's an external reason for the Lord's descent and an internal reason. And the external reason is why he comes for others. And the internal reason is why he comes for himself. Just like the Korma avatar, the external reason for others, which to form a pivot, to churn the poison from the milk ocean. That's for others. The internal reason, the Supreme Lord wanted to polish his jewelry. So as they were churning the ocean on the Korma avatar, like a grinding stone, he was polishing his jewelry. So there's an internal reason and an external. So this internal reason is that the Supreme Lord wants to become complete as the king of relisher of love by taking the position of his own devotee. And now we're into the beginning part of that. As he, after his tour, he's come back to Puri. And as he's come back to Puri, all his intimate associates are coming to assist him in his pastimes, in one sense, and to relish Krishna consciousness with him. And of course, first comes the confidential associates more. And also, what's coming are his assistants. And first from Ishvara Puri, I think it's the godbrother of Ishvara Puri, is Paramananda Puri. He comes to be with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then Kashivar and Govinda. Kashivar and Govinda were the servants of Ishvara Puri, of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's guru. So I guess after the demise of Ishvara Puri, he gave some order that they should serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We're learning so much too, because Govinda comes. And Govinda, you know, generally in that Van Ashram system, a Brahmin wouldn't take direct service, like a personal servant, from someone born in a Shudra family. So Govinda comes. And even Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya questions, how is this possible? But of course, but how is it possible? I'm forgetting the verses. Must be I'm going to actually even just look up this verse now, because it's so frustrating to me that I could forget this verse. Just give me a second, because it'll just take me a second, and then I'll remember the whole thing. What is it? How does it begin? Hirata, maybe it doesn't begin with that, right? Is it Hirata? Hey, I'm getting, okay, 1 second. If I can find that verse. Hirata Purinda Purinda Fugasa Ambirianda. Here it is. It's not Hirata. No wonder I couldn't get it. It's Kirata Punanda Purinda Fugasa Ambira Shambha Yavanakasa Daya Yene Chapapa Yadapasnayakraya Shijanti Pasme Padre. That all sorts of people can become purified. Kiratas, Huna, Anda, Pulinda, Pukasa, Yavanas, every, all those sinful birth, by taking shelter of the devotees of the Lord. Why? Because the Supreme Lord has the supreme power. And because he has the power, he can invest that power in the devotee. And one who has the blessings of the devotee becomes qualified. So we have the thing of Govinda, but there's another problem with Govinda. And the other problem with Govinda is, excuse me, now I lost my place in the book. I got to find it. You'll all bear with me today. I'm sure we'll go someplace. The other problem with Govinda is that Govinda, it's so respected to be. Can you imagine the personal service of servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? That is worshipable. It's not only worshipable, it's udipit. It's the very impetus for ecstatic love. One impetus for ecstatic love of someone is to see the one who has loving service to that person. And it's his God brother. And what God brother? The God brother is the personal servant of his guru. Ishvara Puri. So it was a dilemma for him. How can I take service from such a person? But on the other hand, even though technically he should not take service from his godbrother, who was the personal servant of his spiritual master. It was the order of his spiritual master. And whenever there's dilemma on these very fine points, they always refer to Sarva Bhoma Bhattacharya. And he says that the order of the father, the order of the guru, it stands supreme. So, Govinda, Kashivar, now here we have Srup Damodar. He comes, Srup Damodar was very attached to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Purushottamacharya, and he grew up with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, because that was his life, this is what love means. Love means that the object of your love is your life. And in the absence of your beloved, you have no life. That's love. This is, even when you see, they describe in Ramananda Samvad, the higher sentiments of Radha and Krishna, the higher sentiments when there's love, you become so focused on the other person and their desires. They become your life. And in Radha and Krishna, Krishna is so focused on Radharani and her desires that he even forgets his own identity. That's the highest love. And Radharani is so focused on Krishna and Krishna's desire that she forgets her own identity. How opposite that is from material consciousness. Where our whole focus is on us and our desires. And whatever we desire, then we think that is the way the world should be. That is truth. So, he could not live And he went and he took sannyas. But not the formalities of sannyas. He wasn't interested in the formalities of sannyas. He was interested in the dedication of heart and service. To share with everything. Tridandi sannyas. What does it mean? Kamana manasa gira. Manasa, your mind is Krishna. Gira, your words are Krishna. Kamana manasa gira. Manasa, kamana, your work is Krishna. That's the real sannyas. Everything is offered. There's nothing left to give. If you're a real sannyasi, there's nothing to take from you. You've already given everything. Karmana, manasa, gira, everything dedicated. And then he came back, and then he when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he went to Puri, he comes to Puri, such an exalted personality. So learned in the Shastra, but never talking frivolously. As Prabhupada said, the real vow of Mauna is not to speak anything but Krishna Katha. I always liked to visit when I was in Vrindavan. This was very, very fortunate. You know, that I remember when Prabhupada left the world, that's not fortunate. And I remember the separation that the devotees were feeling. Why? Because Prabhupada was our life. We were thinking of Prabhupada and his desires. I don't know what power Prabhupada had to instill in us such a strong desire. I remember one time I was in Vrindavan. I was in Vrindavan and I was thinking, if Prabhupada, you know, sent me to Baghdad, I would go. Whatever it was. And I used to have a very favorite godbrother. His name is Tribhuvanath. And he was such a nice devotee. And he was very, like, charismatic and dynamic. And he used to preach in the Mideast. And in fact, he was in Lebanon during when the war was there. He was preaching there. And there was actually, this is a little story, but there was, I knew also, there was a member of the Palestine Liberation Army, one of the assistants of Yasser Arafat, who became a devotee. And he was so fanatically a devotee that his goal was to march on Mecca and establish Gaudiya deities. He was so, but he would do things his own way, so he printed the Arabic Bhagavad Gita. And the Arabic Bhagavad Gita, it was like huge. So you could only distribute one at a time. So this person, I used to tell me stories, you know, he would be distributing Prabhupada's books, and cars would blow up in front of him, and he was supposed to take sannyas, and then he was captured. And, you know, so many things. Anyway, I remember got off track, but focused on Prabhupada, and that was his desire. The Sri Damodar. So I remember when Prabhupada left, we had no life. Oh, now I remember the story. So to relieve the separation, we were inviting the great Vaishnavas in Vrindavan to do kirtan. And at one time we invited Narayan Maharaj and Seshayi Brahmachari. And the Seshayi Brahmachari, he came to see Prabhupada when Prabhupada was leaving his body. And Prabhupada said, I asked Narayan Maharaj, he said, is Seshayi still brahmachari? Right. That was in 77. He's still Brahmachari now. And he would sing. I remember when B.B. Govindaswamy, who was one of the great singers in ISKCON, saw him sing. You know, he when this person would sing, Sirupa Manjari Pada, Say Mora Sampada, Say Mora Bhajana Pujana, Say Mora Bhajana Pujana. Of course, my voice is limited. B.B. Govindaswamy said, he looked at me, he said, Seshayi, Vishnu is the ultimate blues singer. They used to come, and then we invited Krishnadas Babaji. And I just said, no word come out of his mouth but the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Nothing. We never even knew he spoke English, although his English was so fluent because he was from an aristocratic Brahmin family in Dhaka in Bangladesh. But only chanting Hare Krishna. Never. That's all. He wouldn't talk. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. I can go so many stories, but Sarup Damodar. At least we have some glimpse in Prabhupada and these personalities. You see some glimpse of someone who's just a consciousness, like an iron rod in fire, the Tadatmika. This is at the stage of Bhava Bhakti, when by the sincere aspiration of the sadhaka to serve Krishna, he invokes Krishna's own internal potency within his consciousness or mind in a way that he cannot distinguish, in a way that he cannot distinguish between his mind and Krishna's potency, as if, this is okay, it'll make the room cool. As if you put an iron rod in fire, the iron rod becomes fire. You cannot distinguish the iron rod from fire. So, the personalities, that's what rod means. What is rod? Rod means attachment. What does attachment mean? When your consciousness becomes completely colored with the object of your attachment. That's rod. That's spontaneous attraction to something. So at the higher level of consciousness, there's such an attraction for Krishna that our consciousness becomes Krishna colored. And therefore nothing comes out of our consciousness but Krishna. And therefore we transcend the world of dualities. I always speak about Niranjan Swami, but one of the reasons I'm here is because somehow health insurance is being arranged for me and Niranjan Swami, because people are taking compassion, feeling that I'm already mid-50s and we should have this kind of coverage, so I'm here because this is my residence and the investigator can come any day now. So I'm kind of staying here. I met him once, but I'm hoping he'll come back again. But it was nice with Niranjan Swami, and he's taking care of his health, and he's taking this Namvrata and becoming attached to the holy name. And you know how sometimes when you live in an institution, there's so many political things going around, friends and enemies, he said, she said, so much of this stuff in the air, right? But I can see by taking shelter of the holy name in his consciousness, it's so hard for him to descend to the world of duality. Of course, we have to make distinctions, we have to act, we have to do our service, but we all know what that means. We all know what that world of duality means. It's nice seeing Vaishnavas and with the faith in the holy name, the pure holy name that he got from Srila Prabhupada. And that holy name from Srila Prabhupada chanted sincerely, the Shuddha Nam, that pure name, then there's no dualities. So here we're associating in the CC with those great Vaishnavas. And Sri Damodar, he was the supreme singer of Vidyapati, Chandidas, Jayadev Goswami, the holy name, with such bhav. He was the ultimate blues singer. And Gadadhar Pandit was the greatest scholar, and Ramananda Roy, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Puri, absorbing himself with Ramananda Roy, only Krishna Katha. Only Krishna Katha. And that is the symptom of spiritual advancement. There's no difference between your desire to hear about Krishna and your spiritual advancement. In Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he met Ramananda Roy, Krishna Katha, only Krishna Katha. They would talk day and night, Krishna Katha. And sometimes forgetting to sleep, the six Goswamis, Shankya Purva Kanama Gana Nativi, day and night, always Krishna Katha. So Srup Damodaran, of course, he was so expert, Bhakti Siddhanta Varuha. If anything was against the conclusion of Bhakti, he could detect it immediately. Sometimes we don't even identify the grossest things against bhakti, like Vaishnava Aparad. That's gross. We should clearly see that. But Bhakti Siddhanta Varuna, the things that are even very subtle, he can understand because they would disturb Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Vaishnava becomes disturbed when there's something against Siddhanta. That's why it's interesting. I was with the weekend with Pradyumna Pandaji. He's not actually, he's kind of like a, how do I put it? He's a very transcendental person, very detached. It's my concentration, I can't. He's very, very detached, actually. He's just living in the Brahmacharya ashram in New York, in the Yajna's ashram. He's a very, very detached person. But one thing, he knows Shastra. And if something is against Shastra, he becomes very disturbed. And he knows it because he knows Shastra. He becomes disturbed. The people who are learned, they've actually realized Shastra, they've studied Shastra, they become, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was disturbed if something was against Vaishnava Siddhanta. And also Rasa Bas, Sarup Damodar. And Rasa Bas means that love at its highest must be perfect. And to love it at its highest, to be perfect, it has to have five emotional components. And when you describe that love, it also must have those elements there. And if it doesn't have all the elements there, or if it has a wrong element, it's a very detailed thing. I cannot describe it now. I could give a whole class on this. But then it won't come to its full relish. And Jiva Goswami gives a very example. He describes it, a devotee becomes like a connoisseur of love. Krishna is a connoisseur of love, a devotee is a connoisseur of love. And what is a connoisseur? He doesn't like anything unless it is properly made. And he gave the example of sweet rice. Sweet rice, the milk should be creamy but not pasty. It shouldn't be too thin, it shouldn't be too thick. The rice should be the right amount. The sugar should not be too sweet. It should not have too little sugar. It should be cooked down in the right different elements. The cardamom or the different saffron spices. And then when a person who knows food, he's a cultured person. A cultured person has a standard for music. He has a standard for drama. He has a standard for eating. He has a standard for how people relate to each other. And if the dealings are not proper, he is disturbed. I always remember Bhakti True Maharaj as being a connoisseur of Vaishnav dealings. They have to be very sweet and proper. Otherwise, there's disturbance. So Sarup Damodar went, well, because as we know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was manifesting so many sentiments that weren't even written of or described. Like the whole scene of Srimati Radharani and her sentiments at Jagannath at Kurukshetra after meeting Krishna after 96 years. That wasn't even described before. So people were writing the literatures to nourish the sentiments of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But if someone would present something, even if it was subtly wrong, Shri Damodar would meet it, would mention it. And then there was a meeting with Sikhi Mahiti and with Bhavananda Roy, the father of Ramananda Roy. So this Sikhi Mahiti, it's very interesting. He's described as one of the 3.5 most confidential associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, the half was a woman, and some people think that the Vaishnav culture then would mean that they don't respect the Vaishnav lady, which is completely against the Vaishnav. But it means 3.5 confidential. So we know from the story, she was so exalted, but the intimacy as being a woman and a man, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was sannyasi. We know the whole story when she even gave some rice to the Chaitanya Chachoda Haridas, how that culture of renunciates would relate to him. So 3.5 most confidential. Not that she was less of a Vaishnava, but it indicated the social position. And also in the language of the day. With Sikhi Mahiti, he was such a confident, we don't hear much about him. But up there, at the level of Ramananda Roy and Sarup Damodar, why his mind was always absorbed in Krishna, to the extent that when he would dream, he would constantly dream about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Actually, one sadhu in Vrindavan, a very nice scholar that I knew, and he shared a realization with me, which shocked me. He said, you want to know what you'll think at the time of death? He said, when you're not able to control your mind, he said, what you're dreaming now. Because that indicates your consciousness. I was shocked. But that's our philosophy. Yam yam vapi smaram bhavam tajantram te kalevaram tam tam evaiti koksadatad bhava bhavata. Whatever your bhava is, that's what you think. That's when you think. Of course, we're depending on the mercy of Prabhupada, but we're making effort. Sadatad bhava bhavata bhava. So his bhava, he would go to sleep. And his heart would manifest. That's what manifests. The things that are important to you, what your sentiments are, what your loves are, what your affections are, what your enmities are. And I tell you, Vaishnava dreams are very, very significant. I got this from my friend that I was able to call in India. Because by Krishna's, I don't have spiritual dreams, but somehow two great spiritual personalities appeared in my dream 1 week apart, giving me affection. So they're very interesting. And I felt what he said related to me. He said, Vaishnava, when a Vaishnava appears in your dream, a great Vaishnava, right? It's the Supreme Lord informing the devotee that he's not unintended, because the personalities cannot manifest to them in the phenomenal world. Letting you know you're not unintended. He said, but Mayavadi dreams, they think they're unreal. Of course, it doesn't mean it has to be that, but it certainly is that in certain circumstances, in many circumstances. Some of my godbrothers share me their dreams sometimes where Prabhupada comes to them. And it's generally like that. You're struggling in the world, you know, you're feeling, where is my shelter, where is my protection? And what I am doing, is it right? Do I have blessings? So sometimes, when you're feeling unattended, the Vaishnava will come. He'll appear in the dreams. So Sikhi Mahiti, he went to sleep, and he had this dream. And in the dream, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was doing kirtan in the Jagannath temple. And he was running in and out of the body of Jagannath. He's having this dream, in and out of the body. And then when he would come out, he would stare with so much affection at Jagannath. So when he woke up from that dream, he was in such a state of shock, and he went to his sister, who was very deep, and he went to his sister, and he went to his mother, his brother, and he said, am I deranged? Is there something wrong with me? And they spontaneously went to the Jagannath Mandir. And when they're at the Jagannath Mandir, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was right in front of the deity, in the same pose, with the same mood that he saw within his dream. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just embraced him. So you can imagine the level of devotion of such a devotee. If you're dreaming like that, what must you be hankering and thinking about during the day? And then, Goda Hoite Sarva Vaishnavera Agama Kulina Gram Vasi Shanga Patima Milan. All the devotees from Bengal gradually began arriving at Jagannath Puri. At this time, the residents of Kulina Gram also came to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for the first time. And this is actually, this Gaur Lila, it shows you what a Vaishnava has life. Prabhupada said that preaching means life. And what does life mean? Life means sentiments or feelings. And the Vaishnava's life is sentiments of, and feelings of others, of affection. And that affection manifest to others in terms of compassion. So you'll see we're going to go. This scene, to prepare for this, because one sentence is a whole chapter in the CC. 200 Mahabhagavat devotees from Bengal arrive in Puri. Mahabhagavat. Can you imagine 200 Mahabhagavats? The party comes, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knows they're coming. He sends Govinda and Sarup Damodar. And Govinda and Sarup Damodar have never met the Bengali devotees. Maybe Sarup Damodar did, but Govinda hasn't. They haven't met Ramananda Roy yet. The Aryan devotees haven't met the Bengali devotees. King Prataparuj is on the roof watching this. Because he's king, he's Vishayi. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does not want to associate with Vishayi. Even though he's a king, even though he's a devotee, just the form of the king, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is reluctant to associate with as a sannyasi. They're so strict in the days of yore, what sannyas was. They refused but King Prataparuj was such a great devotee that when Ramananda Roy wanted to retire, he said, you retire. You're more fortunate than me. I give you full pension. And just hearing the name of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he began to weep uncontrollably in tears. He was such an exalted devotee, but he couldn't associate, because this is a psychological fact. When you're a leader, you need authority. And you can't just impose that authority, even if you're the king. And imposing it, it becomes oppressive and difficult. So you want to inspire the authority. Of course, the king has his character, but he also has the accoutrements of power. Because the general populace, their judgment of superiority and what they surrender to is material. So the person who has the crown jewels and the palaces and the rubies, the diamonds, and the harem and all the... That inspires people. Like young people become inspired by rock stars because they have opulence. Or sportsmen, they have opulence. So the king has Aishwarya, opulence. But because he has that opulence, the sannyasi doesn't associate. When I took sannyas from His Holiness Satsarupa Maharaj, he gave a very wonderful lecture, and he explained the one instruction that Prabhupada gave him. He said, when you take sannyas, I forgot the whole story, but it said, when you go to a rich man's house, you shouldn't think that, oh, I could have had that. So even Prabhupada was hinting, the association with the opulence, it could have, oh, I could have had that. What to speak of the king? And they were so strict. But he was watching the devotees, 200 Mahabhagavat devotees coming, and then seeing them. Look at the Vaishnava culture. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent garlands for everyone. All the devotees are being greeted by his assistant. And actually, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met them, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu glorified each and every devotee. Such feelings and sentiments of affection, it's life. Therefore, I mentioned that, got from Panini, some definition of guru. Guru means affection. Why? Because he feels. He feels for others. He's experiencing Krishna consciousness. He feels for others who are not experiencing Krishna consciousness. Burijan Prabhu told me, this is how you develop compassion. You have to develop taste for Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, how will you feel for others who are bereft of it? Rather, you may envy them. Oh, look, they're having so many things materially. The devotee has so much, the holy name, he saw, it's such a treasure. He's feeling, it's life. He feels compassion, he feels affection, he feels pain. The example is given because doctor is sitting here. So just like if someone was in paralysis accident, that the doctor may take pin and put in different limbs. And if the pin feels pain, the doctor smiles. There's some life. So the feeling in the heart, that's life. And that's the Vaishnava. The Vaishnava has life. So we see Ramananda Roy, he has life. And the devotees from Bengal are arriving. And then King Prataparija, he saw many kirtans. But when these Mahabhagavat devotees are doing kirtan, he says, I have never, ever seen such a kirtan in my life. Because it's different. Such a kirtan is praying kirtan. It's just like a good singer. It's not just the voice, but if he has soul, it means it's coming from his heart. And the real singing that moves one, it comes from the heart. And therefore, it may not have the same technique, but it's so different. And I remember in Vrindavan, Prabhupada would only have one devotee sing to him every morning. Prabhupada would come out in the courtyard when he was ill, and he would sit before under the tree before Krishna and Balaram, and there'd be kirtan. And there was one Bengali devotee named Sachinandana. And this devotee, he wouldn't sing fancy, but he would just sing so melodious. And I remember when he would lead Mangal Arti in the morning in Vrindavan, in the day where our temple was in the middle of nowhere and Vrindavan was a very quiet place, and he would leave with one broken mudanga. And I would look around at every single person who was chanting, and they were chewing the words. It was such nectar that they were chewing the words because it was coming so much from the heart. And when King Pratapuja saw those kirtans, he said, upon seeing these devotees, I am astonished. I have never seen such effulgence. It's like millions of moons. I've never heard the names chanted in this way. Now we'll end for today with just Prabhupada's purport. Such are the symptoms of pure devotees when they are chanting. All the pure devotees are as bright as sunshine, and their bodily luster is effulgent. In addition, their performance of Sankirtan is unparalleled. There are many professional chanters who can perform congregational chanting with various musical instruments in an artistic and musical way, but their chanting cannot be as attractive as the congregational chanting of pure devotees. If a devotee sticks strictly to the principles governing Vaishnava behavior, his bodily luster will naturally be attractive, and his singing and chanting of the holy names of the Lord will be effective. People will appreciate such kirtan without a hesitation. Even dramas about the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya or Sri Krishna should be played by devotees. Such dramas will immediately interest full of potency. The students of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness should note these two points and try to apply their principles in the spreading of the Lord's glories. I remember, Prem Bhakti Marg's dish, you may remember when Purnachand, one of my godbrothers, who I guess preaches in Russia now, but when he was there and we were going out, it was just like a few people, and we do kirtan on Fifth Avenue. And, you know, when you're following and strictly and you go out and do kirtan and it's done in the right way, initially, when you're in New York City, it appears that, you know, the city is so oppressive. But even a few people doing Hari Nam in a sincere way, the holy name just seems to take over the atmosphere. So beautiful, the kirtas. And Prabhupada says here, the drama is played by the devotees, and people appreciate such kirtan. When it's done with prema or love. So, interesting. I will stop from there. Gail, I know you probably have a question if you're there, but I'll ask first if there's anybody else question. And as people are writing me now questions, which is also good, and I'm looking them over, and the next class I will also answer those questions. So that's also good. People want more of that, and I generally just get carried away. Gail, are you there?
I am, Maharaj.
Hi, Bo. You have a question?
Yeah.
I always regret that at the end, and it's very, very late, that I don't leave time for questions. I have to do this in a better way. Yeah, what's your question, Gail?
Well, I know you said you could do a whole class on this, so if you don't want to answer this one, I can also ask you something else.
Go ahead, we'll ask it.
Actually, you had mentioned it before, but I've forgotten those five components of love that you mentioned.
Yeah. Okay, I can mention the five components of love. Okay, I'll do it briefly. First is vibhav, which is the basic of love. And the basis of love has two components. One is called alumban, and alumban means there must be a devotee as the object of, there must be Krishna as the object of love and the devotee. So it means if there's parental rats, there must be Krishna as a baby, as the object of love, and his parents or something, there must be a personal parental relationship. So if it's parental and if it's the lover, there must be Krishna as a young teenage boy and the gopis And if it's friends, it must be Krishna as Poganda between 6 and 10, one of his friends like Subal Sridham. So there must be this is Vibhav, the first Vibhav Alambam. There must be the Krishna as the object of love in a particular relationship, and the appropriate devotee, and then there must be Udipan. It's like a match, something that lights it. And that can be their smiling faces, or Krishna's flute, or their cascading black hair. So that's the basis. Then after Vibhav, there is Anubhav. And Anubhav means for love to reach its crescendo, there must be actions in love. So if the love is friendship, then there must be joking or fighting. And if it's conjugal love, then there are those conjugal actions, sidelong glances, embraces. If it's parental love, then the actions of love may be patting on the head or giving blessings. You see, so in each relationship, there are different aspects of these components. So if there's conjugal love, it has different aspects that must be there. And all this always can be done later when I'm doing class. But then, so that's Anubhav. Then there must be Satvikabhav. Satvikabhav means not that just their actions in love, but they must be so powerful that they must be involuntary, like the hairs standing on end, you know, or fainting or crying or, there's these powerful bodily things. That's Satvikabhav. And then there is Vyabhicharibhav, which means from the particular relationship comes emotions. You may be sad, you may be jubilant, you may be jealous, or so there's 33 Vyabhicharibhavs. And then there's what's called Staibhav, which means the permanent relationship with Krishna. There must be a sense of one of the loves for Krishna in a rasa. It must be, it's either one of the five relationships with Krishna, neutrality or servitude or friendship or parental love or conjugal love. So it's more complex than that, but that's the basis of it. And when someone writes, he has to have in that drama all the, that's why you look at Krishna Leela, Krishna's enjoying this ecstatic love. But how is the ecstatic love? There's all kinds of Leela or pastimes that invokes all these different types of emotions. That's why, you know, there's demons, and then there's fear, and then there's separation, and then there's you know, union, and there's so many things that are happening. But what it is Krishna Rasa Vaisaha, that absolute reality is enjoying this highest sentiment of rasa or love. And it's creating that. And therefore, it's actually a very reasonable conception of the absolute truth that he's enjoying the highest love, and there must be leela or pastimes that generate it. That's a simple answer. And Swarup Damodar was very expert in that. And if dramas came that didn't have one of those components, it would not be rasa, it would be rasa abhas. It would be a reflection of the rasa. Just like if the sugar was too sweet, rasa abhas. If the milk was too pasty in the sweet rice, rasa abhas. If it was too watery, rasa abhas. This is the basic thing. Okay.
What was the name of that one where there were emotions in love? What bhav is that?
The emotions what?
Which bhav is it when it's the emotions of the relationship that come out?
Sai bhav.
Oh no, sai bhav. I thought you said that was.
Oh, vyabhichari. It's like
huh?
It's like vyabhichari or sanchari. There's two words. Vyabhichari. And what it means is just like an ocean, waves come. So if you're a mother, then fear comes from you. Jubilation comes from you in relationship to your daughters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it could be jubilation, it could be fear, it could be anger, but it's all born of your motherly love. And it increases your motherly love like the waves increase the ocean. Okay, Gail, thank you. Anyone like to say Hare Krishna today? Some people said at the beginning. Hare Bo? Anybody like to say Hare Krishna? Is several people said Hare Krishna at the beginning.
Hare Krishna, oh. Maharaj, it's a man in Maya.
Oh, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, how are you?
Good, very good.
Good.
Okay, thank you.
What was number five of the...
Stai Bhav means permanent emotion. It's your relationship with Krishna.
Permanent.
Stai means steady. Okay. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Thank you.
Okay.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Who's that?
Maha.
Who's it?
Maha.
Oh, okay. Okay, great. Hare Krishna. Mahari, you're in Rehoboth.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Hare Krishna. Okay, we'll end it today. Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhavija Patitanam Pavani Vilvija.